Good morning. And welcome as we this morning receive the gifts that our Lord has to give us, the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Let us begin our service with the singing of our opening hymn, Jerusalem, My Happy Home.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, July 13th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Brian Featon. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 673, Jerusalem, My Happy Home, number 673 in the Lutheran service book. Nancy Lair is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Lucille Lee. Kent and Sarah Kleinschmidt are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God and thanksgiving for his many blessings during their 51 years of marriage.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him.
The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies.
The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health.
As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you.
My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish?
And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words, while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad.
All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me.
They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies.
Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me.
But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them.
By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me.
But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. To God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your deep compassion, you rescue us from whatever may hurt us. Teach us to love you above all things and to love our neighbors as ourselves. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of Leviticus, the 18th and 19th chapters. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur your sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. The Table of Duties. What does the table of duties say to widows?
The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives.
The epistle reading recorded in the book of Colossians, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Behold, the lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the words of Christ, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, if there are any children in the congregation who would care to come forward for a children's message, please do so. Good morning, everyone. So, in our last reading for this morning, Jesus told a story. He told a story about a man who got robbed, okay, and he got beat up really bad, and he was left in the middle of the road. The robbers left him there, and one guy, a, a priest. He came walking down the street, and he saw him, and he saw him lying there, and he went all around him. Didn't help. Then there came another guy, a Levite, kind of one of the guys who helps the priest out in his job. And he sees him. He comes up on the guy and he goes around him too. Then a third guy, he comes from a place where the Jewish people didn't like, a place called Samaria. And he sees the guy in the middle of the road, beat up and hurt and wounded, and he helps him out. Now, when we listen to these stories, the parables that Jesus tells, sometimes we try and put ourselves into them, okay? And when we are in them, which person do you think we are in this story? Okay, we could be the ones who pass by, right? And we don't want to be the ones who pass by, do we? No. Would we like to be the one who stopped and helped? Yeah, we would. We'd like to be the one who stopped and helped. But I got to thinking, there's still another person in this parable that Jesus said. Who is the other person that we haven't mentioned yet? How about the guy who got beat up? Well, Jesus did get wounded and bruised and beaten for our in our place when he died on the cross, right? Yeah. Sometimes maybe we're the person who's laying down, who's in need of help from somebody else. Maybe we're the person who's hurt and wounded and in need. And we, when you're hurt, well, how many of you have been sick? Like really sick, like laying on the bathroom floor sick. You know, throwing up sick. Ear infection sick, where all you want to do is curl up in a ball and rock back and forth in your bed. Yeah, and who do you need at that time? Who do you want? You want your parents, don't you? Because your parents are the ones who come and help, aren't they? Yeah. And so, do you think that the gentleman who got beat up, who was robbed, do you think he was thankful for the man who stopped and helped? Yeah, he was thankful for the man who stopped and helped. So when we're down, when we're sick, when we're hurting, you think we should be thankful for the people who stop and help us? And who are the first people who stop and help us when that happens? Your parents. Absolutely right. So we should be thankful for all that our parents do for us and all the gifts that they give us through Jesus. And again, I think, Will, you got it right too when you said Jesus. Right? Because all of us are wounded and hurting by our sins. All of us are wounded and hurting, beaten up by the world and by the devil. And who came along and helped us when we were broken and beaten up by our sins? Yeah, God did. He sent his son. Right? He sent his son to bind up our wounds, to pay for us, to pay the price for us. He sent his son to lift us up and care for us and bring us to the inn, right? The church where we get cared for and watched over and taken care of and get our sins forgiven. So, yeah, sometimes when we hear those stories, you know, we definitely don't want to be the robbers. And sometimes we think we're the person who walked around, and sometimes we think we're the person who stopped and helped, but it's true. Sometimes we are the person who needs that help. And we thank God for He giving us the people who help us out in life. Let's pray. Dear God, We thank you for the people you've sent into our lives to help us, to watch over us, and to care for us. We thank you for our parents, most especially, for all the things they do for us and how they take care of us. And we thank you for our grandparents and other family members who are there to help us. And we thank you for our church family who is there to help us also when we need lifted up and carried. Thank you for all the blessings you give us, especially the blessing of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, in whom we have the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. In that Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you for coming down. Why don't we head back to our parents who've cared for us, and we continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 851, Lord of Glory, You Have Bought Us, hymn number 851 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text from today's gospel reading. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Love and mercy. They're easy to say, but they're not quite so easy to do. Because of original sin, we are all afflicted with self-love, and that means it's hard to live outside of ourselves. It's hard to think about other people before we think of ourselves. It means we're all afflicted with self-interest. And for that reason, God gave His law. He gave His command that we love one another as we love ourselves. To reflect His love for us, to outside of us, to other people. And that is God's command, but I have to confess I still struggle with lines and boundaries, and I still struggle with trying to figure out what that looks like and how you put that kind of thing into action. I can rationalize myself into inaction, and I can mercy and love myself and my family into poverty. The world competes for our love and our mercy. I watch the upper channels on your cable, right? Or late night TV or something like that, and you're bombarded with commercials about the work of Shriners Children's Hospital with Love to the Rescue as a motto, and the work of St. Jude's Cancer Research Center asking you to be a partner in hope. And you turn on your radio and your daytime radio programs, and there are others encouraging you to support the work of crisis pregnancy centers with the ultrasound machines and sonograms through the preborn program. There's Tunnels to Towers, VFW, the American Legion, Feed the Children. There's numerous food banks, local pregnancy centers, congregational members who need companionship, or they need flower beds weeded, or they need voluntary trees cut down. There's members of our own families. There's red kettles in the Christmas season, and who of us hasn't walked by a red kettle in December wanting to go, I just donated at IGA, okay? And you feel guilty walking by that red kettle, and you feel you should dig up into that pocket or that wallet and put a little something in every time you pass that, right? And we want to say more. We want to say more than just love your neighbor. Right? We want to do more than just say it. We want to do more than just say, have mercy on them. We really do want to put that love and that mercy into action. And yet we're overwhelmed by organizations with good intentions. We get paralyzed about what we do, what to do. And yeah, I'll admit sometimes we're lazy, but oftentimes we're scared too. We don't know where to start. We're worried about emotional vampires. We're worried about people who are just users because we've been burned before. How many of us have been, you take a chance to donate to some organization, and for 5 years you get letters in the mail asking you to donate with that envelope that comes pre-addressed. All you got to do is slap a stamp on it and a check on it, and then you get 15, 17, 18 more organizations mailing you solicitations for donations, right? And who wants that? Like, nobody really wants that. So that reads the question, you know, like, how do we show love and mercy to our neighbor? Like, how do we do this? And indeed, I think love is a difficult concept to wrap our head around. Is it a feeling or an emotion? Is there a difference between those two words, feelings and emotions? Is love a choice or a decision that we make regardless of what we feel? Well, I think it's a both and answer. It's both things. We often hear that Jesus expressed deep compassion, deep-seated emotions for people, and that His heart went out to them, and then He made a decision to act on their behalf. He put that love that He was feeling into action. And it's not that people were so very lovable. He could see that they were pitiable, that they were harassed, that they were like sheep without a shepherd, then he had mercy on them. We read in Romans 5, for while we were yet sinners, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And St. Paul even states, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Jesus has mercy on us, and he chooses to love us even as we are rebels against God the Father. And we, for our part, have inherited corruption. We have a natural aversion to other, the not like us. We have a natural aversion to the different, not like me. And I suppose among kids that manifests itself in terms of cliques and bullying and so on and so forth. Then down the road it changes into gossip and character assassination, and then grows into adulthood to oppression and knowingly and willingly tearing other people down. That's why the law in today's Old Testament reading from the book of Leviticus goes out and gives you very specific details of how to and not to act. The reading from Leviticus says, don't do as the Canaanites do, and don't do as the Egyptians did. Don't act like that. And then it goes through this litany of things that you should do. And when you read everything that you should do, you come to the conclusion that these other cultures, those were the things that they didn't do. Right? They didn't love their neighbor as themselves. They were liars and cheaters. They were oppressors of the poor and the needy. The Lord says, when you go into the promised land, don't do that. Don't be like that. Don't act like that. And he says that you should leave some harvest for the poor, that you shouldn't steal, that you shouldn't deal falsely or lie to one another, or keep taking people to court and using the system to unjustly acquire things that don't belong to you and take things from your neighbor. You're not to do all of that and more. Among the pagan and the unregenerate, those ruled by the sinful self, then that must be what is commonplace. We are to avoid those things. So now we are faced with the law of God. Not a suggestion, but the law of God. To do what? To do a feeling? Well, I don't think we're commanded to do a feeling, yet we do feel things. And we get here a choice. We get a choice, a chance to make decisions daily on how we show love and mercy to other people. Take the gospel reading for today. First, it shows that criminal activity was commonplace enough that others would recognize the situation. Now, what are the decisions made by the men who come upon the victim of the highwayman? First, what don't they have, right? What are their excuses? Well, they don't have cell phones, right? There's no police to call. There's no ability to flag anybody down and help. And what might they be afraid of? Well, the priest might be, and the Levite might fear that they couldn't accomplish their jobs. If they touched a dead man or a Gentile, then they would be ceremonially unclean and they would be sent home. It might occur to them that this man laying in the road is part of an elaborate trap. A participant, maybe, or someone left for dead so that the robbers could ambush the next passerby who stopped to help. A reasonable excuse not to help, don't you think? A reasonable excuse not to step in and give somebody a hand when they need a hand. You don't know what's really going on. I'm sure we've actually all used that excuse at one time or another. They had to have approached the beaten man, right? Because they're walking on the road. You've all walked down a sidewalk. You've all walked down a road. You look down farther and you kind of squint and you see something in the road up there. You got to make a choice. You got to make a decision as you get closer as to what it is. What are you going to do, right? You got to be careful of all kinds of things, right? They approached with caution. They got close enough to see the issue at hand. Then you run through a number of scenarios in their head, and they chose to get as far as to the other side of the road as possible. Go around the man. Quick step around the beaten man. Hustle it up. Get by him. After this, there was a decision probably to congratulate themselves for their wisdom. Or maybe perhaps they spent some time second-guessing themselves, rationalizing and justifying their actions as right and good, even as they battle the guilt of their decision. But those two men made a choice. They made a choice not to show compassion, not to show mercy, not to show love. The Samaritan also had to decide. He had to make a choice. He had to make the choice to overcome his fear of being attacked himself. He made the choice to go to the man. And once he found the man alive, he made the decision to wash his wounds and bandage him up. Once he found the man alive, he decided that stopping would entail a cost. It would cost him physically. He'd get dirty. He'd get sore from lifting the man all by himself up on his donkey to take him into town. There'd be an emotional cost, for there'd be no guarantee that this man would ever give him thanks for the actions that he took on his behalf. There's no guarantee the wounded man would thank him. He would encounter an open-ended financial cost. There would be a delay in his business trip. The stay at the inn would cost. It would cost money. And likely he would never get repaid for that action. And still, with all those decisions to be made, he saw the beaten man in need. And the Samaritan's heart went out to him, and he made a choice. He made a choice to help a complete stranger. He put his fears and his concerns and his prejudices aside and gave love and mercy and showed compassion to the beaten man. So through this parable, I think we are given the information that we need to make our decisions, aren't we? All right? We receive the information that love and mercy are not just a matter of emotions and feelings, but they are a matter of choices and the decisions that we make. So what do we walk away with today? Whether it's our attitude towards our parents, our attitude towards our spouse, our attitude towards the people around us. What choices are we making? We're faced with those. We can bear and harbor grudges, or we can show mercy and love. And in our relationships, we can find one more way to show that we love somebody, one more step to do one more thing for them, one more act of mercy to salvage that marriage that's in danger of falling apart. One more thank you to mom who's made your supper for umpteen years. One more thank you that helps her keep going that one extra day. We certainly as individuals can't help in every situation. And that's okay. Because God gives other people to help where we can't, and he gives us to help where other people can't and where they're lacking. What I think we should do is that we should use the law as a framework, as a guide, to exercise our sanctified lives, to pray and to put into action the Spirit-led wisdom and the decision-making capabilities of the new man within us. Then we commend ourselves into the Lord's hands. And as St. Paul writes to the Colossians, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. And just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace, which passes all understanding, be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark A. Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org. where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise for prayer. Good and gracious God, who gives us the command to love our neighbors as ourselves, forgive us where we have failed and have put ourselves first over others. In all humility, we ask that you would lead and guide us to show mercy and compassion to those around us. Give us wisdom to act aright and bestow upon us the gift of discernment so that we may rightly divide the levels of service our neighbor needs, granting that in all of our choices we bring glory to your name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
As we see that there are persons in need, we pray this day for all the peoples who are suffering from the disasters of nature all about our country. Hear our prayers for those who mourn the death of loved ones and the flooding that has come upon Texas and New Mexico. Comfort the grieving and use Christians and their clergy who are in those areas to bear up the hurting and the mourners. In other areas of the country and indeed the world, cause the message of Jesus Christ and life eternal in his name to be proclaimed so that believing in Christ for salvation, we may each look to the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, it is you who brings new life into this world, and each new soul comes with the message that you are not yet finished with the world. Receive the thanksgivings of the Thompson family, that Logan and his wife are expecting the birth of their first child. Please watch over this pregnancy and grant health and well-being to mother and child, that coming to full term, a new person may be added to the Lamb's Book of Life through the waters of holy baptism, and that the family may rejoice in your mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious God, we pray you to guide the families of this congregation so that they may raise up their children in the true faith and help them to realize that it is with delight that you hear the prayers of the family in the home. Bless our parents and grandparents that they be models of Christian love to their children so that they all will stand before your throne in the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Thank you, O Lord, that you have returned our youth and chaperones safely home from the trip to the Higher Things Conference. Grant now that they take what they have learned to heart and put it into action in their daily lives. Bless also the work of our school staff as they diligently prepare for the upcoming school year and the 50th anniversary of Lutheran education within our community. In all our endeavors, please bless us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord our God, it is you who gives in abundance, so we are bold to ask very much of you. You have given us some rain which has nourished the crops in the ground, and yet we are bold to ask you that as the corn needs pollinating and other crops and gardens need moisture, you would give us a day or two of steady, soft, ground-penetrating rain that will give much-needed moisture to gardens and to fields, so that there will be a plentiful harvest in the fall and much food to grace our tables. In Christ's holy name we ask these things.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are all bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 698, May We Thy Precepts, Lord, Fulfill, hymn number 698 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We have a few announcements this morning. First, I'd like to just remind everybody of sign-ups for the pictorial directory. So we've got that going on. Megan, do you have something for Vacation Bible School?
Good morning. We are 1 week away from Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School will be next Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. And then at 6 p.m. we will have a family meal that, again, all of you are invited to join us for. Today at about 11:45 will be prep for VBS, so I need crafters and non-crafters to come help join us. And I'm also serving a lunch with that will include Clem Sweet Corn. So hopefully that will entice you to come help. But glue sticks, staplers, crayons, markers, ruffling, tissue paper, those types of things, and then some other crafty things we're doing. And then next Saturday, the 19th at 5 o'clock, we'll meet back here so we can put all of our craftiness together there. And then one plug, 5 months from today is Journey to Bethlehem. So put that on your calendar.
No stress there. Lori? Sam? Okay. We got Sam coming down for a baseball game, I think.
So on Saturday, the 26th of July at 6:30, the youth group, and we're inviting the whole congregation to attend the normal Corn Belters game. They are versing the Terre Haute Rex team. And we'll have one of those sweet rooms, thanks to one of our members here who is involved with some Illinois corn stuff. But that'll include some drinks and food. And so if you want to come, there's a sign-up sheet on the ledge. And I need to know so we know how to get the tickets dispersed and everything, what numbers we're looking for. So everyone's invited to attend this game if you're interested in the baseball. Thank you.
And Lori, did you have anything about the pictorial directory? And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.